The Lord is good.
Thank you.
God is good. And all the time, God is good. Amen. I'd like to do a quick review. And just talk to you a little bit of some of the things that we've been talking about over the past few weeks. We mentioned that heaven is in you in the form of the kingdom of God. We know that God wants the earth to be filled with the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus preached. It's a prayer he taught his disciples to pray. Thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So God wants us to experience heaven on earth. And God has given us the key. The key is Christ in us, the kingdom of God in his family. And then we ask the question, how do we produce the kingdom of God that's on the inside of us? How do we release it? How do we get it to be seen in this natural physical world? And we mentioned that you do it by understanding the laws of the kingdom. That the kingdom is based on laws, spiritual laws that are given to us, and as we learn the laws of the kingdom, we are able to operate in those laws. We had some illustrations in the past. We had the woman with the issue of blood. She was able to tap into what was in Jesus. When she touched the hem of his garment, he felt virtue or power go out of him. And that's in Mark chapter 6. When he said, who touched me? Then the woman, when she saw that she couldn't hide, you know, she said, you know, I touched you. And then she told him what happened to her when she touched him. And of course, you and I know that she was made whole. She had an issue of blood for 12 years. She had gone to all the physicians that she could have gone to, and she was not made whole. But when she touched the hem of Jesus' garment, she became cured. And so Jesus said to her, woman, your faith has made you whole. So you and I know that faith is a conduit of getting the kingdom into the natural realm. From wherever it is, into the natural realm. You and I know that it is in us. The kingdom of God is in us. We want to get it from on the inside to the outside. Jesus explained that if in Mark chapter 11, he said, if anyone speaks to a mountain and believes in his heart what he speaks will come to pass, provided that what he speaks is God's word. Right? So the integrity basically is in the word of God. So we found out then that the switch that is used is really the heart. We have the switch in the heart, we use the heart, and what's in the heart usually comes out the mouth, is declared with the mouth, and this is giving us an illustration of how to bring the things that are in the kingdom of God that is within us out into the natural realm. And so we gave you that diagram, you remember very well. so better? We have the soul. What's in the soul? Mind, will. Okay, and then this is the body. We have the five physical senses, and the Holy Spirit is in our spirit. This is our spirit here. And in your spirit you have things like your conscience and so on, right? So we have this, and we understand then this Christ in us is the kingdom or the hope of glory, and that the objective that God has is for this to be demonstrated to the earth and to fill the earth with actually this, which is the kingdom of God or the glory of God. And so Jesus tells us that if we would speak to a mountain, and we would not doubt in our heart, but we would believe that those things that we speak will come to pass, then we shall have what we say. So now we understand, of course, that He has given to us exceeding great and precious promises. And all the promises are in the Word of God. And we were told, we looked at Isaiah 55. And Isaiah 55 says, as the rain comes down and the snow comes down from heaven and causes the earth to bud, so too the Word of God, when it comes and its place in the kingdom, it will cause the kingdom to produce. Everything is already in the kingdom, but you need the Word of God, the seed, to trigger this. Jesus gave us some illustrations when He used the parable in Mark chapter 4. He gave us a picture of how the kingdom of God operates. And the first parable in Mark 4, he points out the heart of man and how the kingdom grows there in the heart of man. This is where the kingdom grows. And if you read, we won't go over it now, but if you would read that first parable, he talks especially about the kingdom that was placed on the inside of us and how it grows. Okay, that's the whole of Mark chapter 4, the first parable. In the second parable, from verse 26 or verses 26 to 29, just speak there with me real quickly. Mark 4, 26 to 29, that's the second parable. All three parables is describing the kingdom. And in Mark 4, 26 to 29, someone please read it for me. Okay. He is giving us again a parable here, and he's illustrating. What is he focusing on? What is he talking about here? Huh? What is he focusing on in this parable? Just read it one more time for us, please. Okay. He says, the kingdom of God is like a man casting seed into the ground, or into the earth, right? What happens when he casts a seed in the earth? He sleeps, rises, sleeps, rises. And what happens? What happens? The seeds grow? The seeds grow. How? He says we don't know. Okay, we don't know. All we know is that the seed grows. So all you need to do, and I need to do, is just get the seed and put the seed in that particular soil, and it will grow. I mean, that's simple to me. How about you? All we need to do is to get the seed and put the seed in the soil, and, you know, we know that the soil will definitely bring about what's in the soil itself. The nutrients and everything will cause the seed in the soil to bring forth the harvest. That's wonderful, isn't it? Is there any way for us to put the seed in the soil and not get the soil to produce? Is there any way that the seed can be put in the soil and the soil not produce? Yes, how? Okay, how would you identify the soil? Okay, the soil has to be good ground. The soil has to be good ground. And what is that good ground? The kingdom. In other words, you put seed in the kingdom, you don't have to guess. You just know that it will produce. All God is trying to get His family to do is to take the seed and put the seed in the good soil. That's all He's trying to do. That's all He wants of us. If we would take the seed and put the seed in the good ground, which is the kingdom will produce. What is in the kingdom? Righteousness, joy, peace. Whatever we desire, basically, that pertains to life and godliness is found in the kingdom. So, the way how God tells us, again, He tells us in Second Peter verses 3 and 4 especially, He tells us that, okay, I am giving you these exceeding great and precious promises that are in the Bible, in the Word. And now you take the promise, each promise, and you plant the promise in the kingdom, and it will produce. It will cause what's in the kingdom to be demonstrated through us into this natural world. Is that simple enough? Are you in agreement with this? Okay. Now, it says when the seed gets to the soil, the earth, the kingdom, as we know, it must produce. It must produce. You don't know how, but it must produce. Simply because God says it must produce. So, it's imperative then that you and I become fully persuaded about this truth. If you and I are fully persuaded about this truth, we will not fail to plant the seed in the good ground and expect. Abraham was such a man. Abraham, Bible says, who against hope believed in hope according to the promise that was given to him by God. So shall thy seed be. So Abraham, being not weak in faith, it says it in Romans 4, considered not his own body. In other words, his body was old. He didn't consider the circumstances and the situations around him. Now, this is a place, though, where we get kind of jammed up, you know, as believers. Because we know that you can't... it says here that Abraham didn't consider the circumstances. Is that correct? Not to consider the circumstances? Is it correct? Not to consider the circumstances? Well, I don't know. I don't know about that. You have to persuade me about that. Can you persuade me about that? Yes? By having faith in God, you don't question? Do you consider these circumstances? Okay. Yes? We're in the back. Okay. All right. Everyone heard what she said? All right. Okay. Anyone else? Yes. Should I define? I mean what the Bible says. Okay. All right. Thank you for sharing that. Yes. Okay. Is there any place we're supposed to draw a line? In other words, there are circumstances that we are told that we should consider. For example, if you're going to build something, the Bible says consider the cost. Isn't the cost the circumstances? So don't you have to consider the circumstances? So did I just contradict what some of you just told me? I didn't? Could you explain it for me? Or to me? Or try, you know. Mm-hmm. Anyone? Anyone wants to? Yes. Mr. Cottrell. Say it a little louder for me. Okay. All right. Don't look at my expressions or anything like that. You know. Usually, you know. Sometimes I would acknowledge and say, "Okay, yes," and sometimes I don't say anything. It has nothing to do. It's just my reaction, my response. All right. So don't be intimidated by my response. Okay? Yes. Okay. All right. Thank you. Yes? You have a problem with me using the scripture verse? How am I using it? Well, those are the circumstances. Okay. All right. Okay. Yes? Okay. All right. Do you have anything?
No, but
you put it up anyway. So. Okay. Okay, all right, that's a good, okay, all right, thank you. Anyone else? Yes. Okay. Yes. Okay, anyone else? Yes. Okay, all right. Thanks for sharing that. Yes. These are all wonderful answers, by the way. Okay. All right, I'll take one more and then we'll move on. Oops. One more and then we'll move on. Okay, let's move on. Let's go back. All right, so we are given precious promises, and we've got to get the promises into the good soil. And we have to be fully persuaded that what God has promised, He will do. What God has promised, all we have to do is to get it into the kingdom, what God has declared. If He has promised it, that's our responsibility, to get it into the kingdom. If we get it into the kingdom, then we need to be fully persuaded that once it's in the kingdom, it will produce. Once we get into the good ground, it will produce. That's right. Is that right? So, how many promises have you had from God over the past years? How many promises? No, how many promises have you had that God has given to you? How many promises has, over the past years, how many promises have God has given to you that you know of? Huh? A lot? Okay, out of those promises, how many have you experienced that they came to pass? 10%? 5%? 50%? 90%? 100%? Anyone want to... I mean, I'm not trying to put anyone on the spot. That's not the... Yeah, I mean, we're all in class here. We're learning. We want to understand what God is saying to us. So, you know, this is not to put anyone on the spot. But if you would look at your life and you would say, okay, I think I've had 20 promises from God, say in the past 2 years or in the past 2 months or however. And out of those 20 promises, I can tell you that 2%, 8%, 10%, 100%, 50% of those promises have been fulfilled. How many have at least 50% fulfilled? At least one, two, at least three. How many of you would say at least 25% has been fulfilled? How many of you would say 90% has been fulfilled? Whew. How many of you would say, I just don't feel like saying? I'm trying to get the response, see, because here's why I'm trying to get a response. I'm trying to get a response because if God has given us promises and we are understanding how to get the promises of God to be revealed in the natural physical world that we live in, if there is a law that causes that to happen, and we know the law, then you would agree that we should have at least 100% of those promises being fulfilled. Come, talk to me. Huh? Yeah. You're supposed to read about it and what? And well, it says, according to 2 Peter, that God has given us these exceeding great and precious promises. And it says, by these promises, we become partakers of the very nature of God, that divine nature of God, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So I would think that if God has given me just one promise, if God gave me a promise of something, then, if I follow, if I understand the steps or the laws that will bring that promise into, from the spirit to the natural realm, if I understand the law and I can bring that promise to pass in the sense that I can get it in the natural realm, if I could do it with that one promise, then I could do it with all the promises. Okay? I think it means that if we discover the law that God has put, the spiritual law that God has put into effect, then we can use that spiritual law and bring all the promises of God into effect, because that's the way God works. His kingdom operates by law. Every kingdom operates by law. The natural kingdom that we're in, you know, there's the law of electricity, there's the law of lift, you know, when the airplane is flying, you know, you have to have the law of lift in place so that the law of gravity doesn't overtake it and pull the airplane to the ground. Right? There are constant laws. And because, as individuals, the more we, as natural people, the more laws we learn, it's the more our we advance in our society, so to speak. I mean, like, we have learned how to get these lights working, so now we don't use candles. Right? And you would agree that the minute you tasted of the electricity and the light bulb and how everything works, then you will not want to go back to using candles, right? I mean, this is an advancement. It's something that's good, right? So you would think that all the promises that God has given, that if we can, it says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises you and I can be partakers of the very nature of God. Now, we have the nature of God when we were born again. But now what it's talking about, being able to walk in that nature day by day, with that nature coming to the forefront more and more every day, because we've learned the laws of operating and functioning in that nature. We've learned the laws. If we know the law, then we can always bring the thing to pass. Huh? Would you agree? Well, I believe that. I believe that God has given us these great promises. 2 Peter tells us a whole host of promises. And I believe that God has gone one step further, and He's designed us this way by putting the kingdom of God, His life, His spirit, inside of us. And that He's saying to us, all I need you to do is to understand the laws that govern my kingdom, and all the promises will be yours. If you know how to follow the law, just use the law, follow the law, and you will bring the kingdom that is on the inside of you, you'll bring it out more and more. Now, let me explain something to you. In Psalms, in the Psalms, when the Psalm was talking about, Psalm 8, you know that wonderful Psalm that we, how does it start? O Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth. Do you know that Psalm 8? Look at it, peek at it for me, with me. Psalm 8. You got it? Okay, let's read it together. Ready? Begin. Now, let's, from this part here, read this part loudly, clearly. What a powerful song. What a tremendous song. When I consider the heavens, the sun, the moon, the stars, what is man that you're so mindful of him? Who is this man that you are so mindful of him, that you have made him a little lower? In the Hebrew, I think the word is Elohim. And Elohim sometimes is translated angels, sometimes is translated God. So some of your translations may have you made him a little lower than God. Some may say angels. But I believe that the better translation is you've made him a little lower than God, Elohim. You've made him a little lower than Elohim. You've crowned him with honor and glory. You've put all things under him. Now, just think about that. And when you read Psalm 8, you go back to the beginning when God had created the heavens and the earth and everything, and the last of his creation was this man. And when he created this man, he crowned him with glory and honor. He crowned him with glory and honor. Right? Now, I shared with you before what the glory is and what honor is. What did we say that glory is? I think I wrote it down. What's glory? crown them with honor and glory. What did we say glory was? We said that the glory basically was the anointing. Let me verify that for you. Glory is the anointing of God's kingdom. Honor is the position in that kingdom. In other words, God crowned the man. When you think of a crown, what do you think of? When you think of a crown, who wears a crown? Why? To show his authority, to show that he is the one with authority. So when it says, you have crowned this man with glory, it means that you have given this man the authority. You crown him with glory and honor. When you think about honor, what do you think of? Position. It's a position. Honor. High position. Right? When you think of honor, it's a position. Now, here is what the psalmist is saying. You have made this man and you've given him dominion over all the works of your hands. You have crowned him with glory. You've given him authority over all the works of your hands, and you have placed him in the highest position that one can think of. You agree with that, right? When God created the man, we can go back to Genesis, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over all the works of God's hand. All right, so we are in agreement that this is what God had given to the man. However, you and I know that the man took that crown and that badge of authority and forfeited that position, didn't he? Okay, when he did that, what happened? Yes, the whole system of God became corrupted. This man gave up, he took the badge off. He took the crown off. He took the authority and laid it aside. Actually, kind of forfeited it to somebody else. Now he still had the lease on the earth. Did you hear me? He still had the lease on the earth when God gave him the lease of the earth. He still had the lease on the earth, even though the enemy now has usurped his position and his authority. But he still has authority, or he still has the lease on the earth itself. His authority he has forfeited. His position he has forfeited. That's important. The reason why that is important is because God himself, to come and get that authority and that position back to the man, God has to get permission to come into the earth to be able to do that, because he just can't. He's not like the devil. He doesn't come and try to take over like that. God is a God of principle. He's a God of his word. If he says, I'm going to create this earth and I'm going to let the man have dominion over it, then if the man takes the dominion and gives it to someone else or forfeits that dominion, God is not just going to come in and try to take it over. He has to follow the same precepts and principles that he has set. So in order for God to come in the earth, God has to have a man who would allow him to come in. Are you with me here? This is important. You see, because we see that man. Now, that man, before, the man that God got, first of all, was Abraham. Right? When Abraham went to sacrifice his son on the cross. Incidentally, that was the same mountain range where God sacrificed his son. Right? He had a lamb in place of his son, but in Golgotha, Jesus became the lamb. So we see God getting permission through Abraham, bringing his son into the world, and his son as a man now is going to regain that glory and that position of honor and give it back to man. So that's what he did. Jesus came
He got the glory back. Jesus came, He got the honor, place of honor, position back. And then He said to you and me, before He left, He says, you know, I have to go back to the Father. But it's good for you that I'm going back to the Father, because now I'm going to send back another Comforter who's going to come. And when He comes, He's going to lead you and guide you into all truth. And He is going to actually bring, show you how to take this kingdom of God and get this kingdom really demonstrated in the earth. So that's what happened. In the Holy Spirit is now, with the kingdom, is now on the inside of you. So you are now in a place of honor. You are now in a place of glory. You are being restored the honor that the first Adam had. You're being restored the glory that the first Adam had. Now, you receive that life, but now it's up to you and me to allow that life to grow in us. It's the kingdom. To allow that kingdom to come out of us, to be able to affect this lost and dying world that we are a part of. So He gave us the written word, He gave us the kingdom, and He's saying to us, look, I am giving you exceeding great and precious promises. Every time you partake of one of these promises, you are going to be able to plant that promise in the garden, and the garden will bud and bring forth the kingdom. The things that are in the kingdom. The Garden of Eden, when Adam forfeited his right, when he gave up the glory and the honor, he literally put God out of the earth. You with me? He put God out of the earth, and what did God put him out of? The garden. God put him out of the garden. You know what the garden is? The garden is the kingdom of God. The garden is the presence of God. So God put him out of the garden, put a cherub to guard that place. God put him out of the garden, He put God out of the earth. In other words, in the sense that God could not just come in the earth and do whatever He wanted. He had to get permission. He had to get a man who would allow Him to come in the earth to do this. Now, all this stuff is important to you and me, because this is what this is really all about. Getting this kingdom that's on the inside of us. See, the whole of creation is waiting for it. It's waiting for the manifestation of this kingdom. The sons of God to demonstrate and manifest the kingdom of God. That's what the world is waiting for. It's all in our hands. The family of God. Throughout the world. It's in our hands. Yes? Well, I don't know if it's correct or not. But, it's a possibility. It's also a possibility. I have a possibility that, well, I wouldn't talk about my possibility. No, that's a possibility. We'll talk about that in another lesson. Very good point. Now, God put Adam out of the garden. Put a cherub to guard the tree of life in that garden. Is that biblical? Adam put God out of the earth. Is that biblical? Now, you can't find a scripture verse that says Adam put God out of the earth. But you know that God did not usurp any authority in the earth. He did it through man. Because He says, let's create earth and let's give man the dominion over it. And God is a God of order. Now, we were talking about the lease that He gave to man on the earth. Right? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. What we're talking about is the system, the leash that God has given to the man, crowned him with honor and glory. Remember, he crowned him with honor and glory, but he made him a little lower than God. God still owns everything, even though he's given the man the earth for a period of time. He leashed the earth to man. We'll talk about that another time. But we have to understand these things. See, because someone says, you know, what kind of foolishness is this? Man can't put God out of the earth. Man is man. God is God. How could man put God out of the earth? You know, so many things that we read in the Bible, and if we see things, a lot of times, if we don't quite understand what is being said, you know, for example, when God said, let us make man, and he used that word, that word us. He uses it three times in the scriptures. He used it another time when he says, let us go down and see if the report that came to us about the man, what the man is doing is so. When he was going to actually the Tower of Babel, when they made that tower and they wanted to make a tower that go up to heaven, the Tower of Babel, that's another time when God used that word us. And the third time God uses that word us is that when he says, after Adam fell, he says, the man has become like one of us. Let me tell you an understanding of that verse. The man has become like one of us. Adam has put God out of the earth. God put Adam out of his presence, out of the garden. Man, let us, man has become like one of us to know good and evil. So man knows something that he didn't know before. The flip side of that is one of us must become like man. So the Father, the Word, and the Spirit, one God, and they decided, or he decided, that one of them would become man. Why? Because mankind has to be redeemed. And mankind cannot be redeemed by God or a God. He has to be redeemed by a man. So one of us has to become man. And the Word decided that he would. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John chapter 1. The Bible explains itself. The Bible explains itself. So, when I say that man put God out of the garden, don't get the impression, who is this puny man can put God out of the garden? That can't happen. Out of the earth? That can't happen. Don't think of it like that. You know that that's not the way that I'm meaning this. Or anyone who would say something like this, that's not what is meant. When we think of the power that God has. But we have to do everything based on legality. Because God works by law. This whole operation here, it works by law. If you and I understand the law of getting the promises that are given to us, getting them into the kingdom will always produce. It will bud, it will flourish, it will produce. In other words, you have everything on the inside of you. Everything. What do you need? What do you need? What do you need? Everything is in this inside of you. God put it that way. Listen, it's nothing new. He put it in the garden. In Genesis, it was in the garden. Then he put the man in the garden. And everything was in the garden for the man. Well, when he put the man out of the garden, and then he sent his son, who came and took the dominion in the earth, now Jesus takes the garden And instead of putting the man just in the garden, he puts the garden in the man. It's the kingdom of God. We need the connection. And there's a law that makes it happen all the time. What promise do you have? What promise? There are thousands of promises in the Word of God. What promise do you want? God has promised them all to you and me. If we can find the law and know how to get it to produce, then it would produce all the time. That's what Christianity is really all about. Jesus didn't come preaching a religion. Jesus came preaching a kingdom. He told his disciples, when you pray, pray thy kingdom come. God's kingdom. That thing that's on the inside of you. Christ in you. The hope of glory. That's what this is all about. It's not about the person next to you. Or this one, or that one, or that religion. It's not about that stuff. It's about what God has placed in you showing up. That's why you could be comfortable in who you are. That's why you can be satisfied. That's why you don't need somebody else to tell you who you are or to make you what you are. God has already done that. You are special. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Your identity does not depend on somebody else. That means if pastor wants to play the fool and go live a life that is double, a two-faced life, let him do it. It does not have to affect you. Because your relationship with him, with God, is personal. When you stand before God, it's no, well, I didn't come from a good family, Lord. Oh, Lord, I came from a dysfunctional family. That's why I behaved like this. You know, I wish you could show me someone who did not come from a dysfunctional family. After Adam fell, every family was dysfunctional. So we can find excuses for everything. But God is saying, no, I'm going to erase all that stuff. Listen, you special to me. If you were the only person on the earth, I will still send my son to die for you. You are special. And what I'm doing is I'm taking my kingdom and my life and I'm putting it in you. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray that this kingdom be manifested on the earth so that the will of God is done in the earth as it is in Eden. In God's presence. Now, let me take 3 more minutes. No, let me take 8 more minutes. If I take 8 more minutes, it would be quarter after. So is the kingdom in you? Mm-hmm. So, do you know the law of how to release the kingdom from on the inside of you? How many of you don't know it? Everybody knows the law of how to release the kingdom on the inside of you so that it can show up in the world. Okay, maybe we know it, but we still need to kind of work with it so that it can be worked out in and through us. Because we are in a developmental stage, right? Yes? Yes. Okay, everybody knows that the kingdom of God is in you. Everyone knows that Christ in you, the hope of glory. You have Christ in you. You have the Spirit of God. Everyone here knows that God has not withheld any good thing from you. He's given you exceedingly great and precious promises. Now, He wants you to take that promise, take the seed, take the word, put the word in the kingdom. And as the rain falls, and the snow from the heaven. It's falling more or less into the earth. The earth meaning the kingdom. This is a parallel here. In the kingdom that causes the earth to bud, causes the kingdom to bud and flourish. So the goal is for this Christ in you, that glory, first of all, you can't tell if it's God's spirit or your spirit. When a thought comes, you know, when it comes from inside, you know it's right. And it has to actually fill the whole of your heart. That means your mind. That means you have the mind of Christ. That means your will. My will is to do, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and finish His work. Emotions. My emotions are always kept in submission and subjection to what God wants. That's your soul. Well, look at this. Look at this. What does the Bible say? Out of the what? Abundance. Abundance of what? The heart. What's going to happen? You'll open your mouth and speak. What do you think? What would you be speaking? You'd be speaking the kingdom. So all the promises here. You'd be speaking the kingdom. You'll be speaking the word of God. What says? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. What word? The word of faith which we preach. You'll declare it. You'll be speaking. You will speak what God has said. When you speak what God has said, it will come to pass. Because it's no longer you, but it's God in you. For it's God in you who is working in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Aren't you excited for this to happen? You think you're excited, you should ask that tree outside. No, the Bible says that all of creation is groaning and waiting for this to happen to us. What happens when the heart is filled? What do you expect the body to do? The body just comes in submission and subjection to what is in the soul. Everything out here, this is what John said, beloved, I wish, above all things, that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Your body being in health and your material world being blessed is contingent upon this. Your soul prospering. No wonder the enemy fights us so much in our soul. No wonder. He doesn't want us to exercise what we are. He wants to keep us from thinking. He wants us to keep, always thinking, well, and that's why if he can keep us focused on the material things and on the circumstances of life, and if he can keep us focused on those things, then we lose sight of the word and what it's saying on the inside. Remember, God is inside out minded, not outside in. He's inside out minded. The candle or the spirit of the man is the candle of the Lord, where he searches all the inward parts. That means your heart, your soul, your mind, your will, your emotion. And your body is just a body. It does whatever it's told to do, depending on what's in control in your life. So you can understand the scripture, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You've got to understand that. It didn't say out of the heart, the mouth speaks. But out of the abundance of the heart. That means whatever is dominant in your heart is going to show up in your physical life. It's going to come out of your mouth. So if the pattern in your heart, remember, your heart is your soul also, your mind. So if you have a pattern in your mind that is from the world system, and that pattern is dominant, it will override your spirit. And it will come out of your mouth. And it will show up in the natural world. So Paul says, don't be conformed to the pattern of the world, but be transformed or transfigured by the renewing of your mind. And then you'll be able to demonstrate in your body, in your life, the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That's the operation that God has given to us. Perhaps, the Lord willing, next week, we will go through the steps, each step, and we look at, and then you could agree or disagree. Remember, this Bible study, is that's all it is Bible study. You agree, you disagree. The best way to see if it's going to work is to work it. Put it into practice. And if it doesn't work, throw it out. Right? But I guarantee you, if it works, nobody could stop you. Because once you get a little taste of one thing working, then you know you want to get something else and something else. And so that's how we are anyway. That's how we were created. That's exactly what it means. Moving from glory to glory, to glory, to glory, to glory. As by the Spirit of the Lord. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. So, that's my prayer. That's my prayer, first of all, for me. To move from glory to glory. Glory to glory. So, in order to do that, the first thing is to be desensitized to the critics. Desensitized to the critics. And we're not talking about constructive criticism yet. We're talking just naysayers. You have to be desensitized, because if you are sensitive, then everything somebody says is going to affect you. And then you're not going to know how to function. And you're going to be confused. It happens so much in the body of Christ, because we read one thing, and then this person comes and teaches one thing, and then this person takes the same scripture verse and teaches something that's seem to contradict what this person is teaching. And next thing you know, we have 50 different religions. Or more like 500. Right? But God is in you, and God says that you don't need any man to teach you. In other words, that He will allow you to understand His truth. So, put it to work. If it works, then glorify God and continue to work it. If it doesn't work, go back to the drawing board. Amen? That's my take on it. Stand with me.